Let's bow for prayer. Lord, teach us what it means to have joy. Then we ask that you give us joy, so that even in the face of unpleasantness, hardship, and sorrow, the deep joy of God would remain in us. Amen. How many of you have been following the events in Thailand? The rescue of these guys stuck in a cave for 2 weeks now, plus. Last I saw this morning is they'd rescued four. And they're all in relatively good shape. I dare say, if and when they rescue all of them, plus their leader, you will have a great definition of joy. I will hear that from here, I think, from this place in Thailand where they're working together. 10 nations working together, can you believe it? Some of them almost sworn enemies, all working together to save these young fellas. I want to begin this morning by quoting a little story I heard from the Grand Rabbi of Britain, Jonathan Sacks, who told a little story to introduce his talk on faith. He began by saying that if you know New York at all in the summertime, you'll know that it is a very hot and muggy place, a place I would liken to perhaps Toronto or some other eastern province where it seems to be so hot and so moist that you just can't find a place to get away. The story is told, there was a Jewish restaurant full of patrons, and after one couple sat down, the man was overheard to say, "Waiter, come here." Waiter came over. He said, "Waiter, this place is too hot. Turn on the air conditioner." And the waiter went out of the room. 5 minutes later, this man again raised his voice and said, "Waiter, come here." As the waiter came, he said, "This room is too cold. Turn off the air conditioner." So the man walked out of the room. 5 minutes later, this customer again called, "Waiter, come here. This place is too hot. Turn on the air conditioner." And so the waiter went back walking out of the room. And just before he reached the exit, another patron got up and said, "Excuse me, but I apologize for that man. He must be driving you insane." The waiter said, "No, actually, I think I'm driving him insane." You see, there is no air conditioner. I think sometimes we're as confused as the patron was about what the meaning of joy is. What is the meaning of joy? Is it exuberance? Is it feeling? Is it perhaps a state of being? Or if you've read any of C.S. Lewis, especially his book describing, in some measure, his journey to faith, is it a sense of longing, a sense of hope, a sense of missing something and seeking to find it? Or is it just exuberance, just this unbridled joy that wells up within you that you can't stop. Talked already about C.S. Lewis, who defined it as a kind of, in German you'd call it Sehnsucht, or some kind of inner longing that seeks something, that is something that you find, and then it seems to just fill a place in your being that is empty, and you long for something to add to that. And so for C.S. Lewis, it was the sense that having seen that in some of the kind of mystical fairy tales of the North, and the reading that he was doing that gave him a longing for that kind of presence of the holy, presence of the Almighty. That finally, when he was talking to some of his friends who were Christians, they showed him and told him over and over again, especially one night, walking and walking and talking in a garden about this person, Jesus, and how this person would answer all of his questions and needs. And finally, having resisted for so long, he knelt in prayer that night in his room, as he says it, the most reluctant convert in all of England. That sense that somehow you just want and need something that you don't have, but knowing and having tasted of it, that there is that there. What is joy to you? Gary read to us some verses out of the letter to the Philippians. Paul's description of joy is probably best found in this particular book. It's known by some as the Epistle of Joy. It's dated around 61 AD, and Paul probably here is in prison, maybe not in a real prison, maybe his home or his dwellings, his lodgings, where he is captive, not able to move about, but he's still able, most likely, to receive guests and most likely to send correspondence out and receive it coming back in. The word joy or its derivatives occur about 16 times in this book, and they come all the way through it. There's been, obviously, some division in the church. And so Paul is writing both to encourage and to admonish some of those who are being argumentative. He wants to remind them that the gospel is essentially a call to unity. It is, in the sense, it is to be together rather than divided against each other. He writes in Philippians 2, verse 2, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the spirit and one in purpose." Be together, not apart. Be as one. Even though you don't necessarily agree in everything, you need to be together on who you are and what God calls you to be. You are one people. Elsewhere, Paul speaks about other aspects of his own life. He welcomes Epaphras, this man who came from the churches farther away, bringing something to Paul because Paul was understood to be in trouble, perhaps even sick. There was some thought that perhaps he was near death at one point, but God spared him, and he welcomes this gift from the churches through Epaphras and thanks them for that, and he thanks them with joy. he encourages them in 4 verse 4 to rejoice in the Lord always. What is rejoice? Is it something inside, or is it something that you just do? And then at the end of it, end of this letter, he writes, rejoice in the Lord, and he rejoices in it for their friendship, or for their friendship with him. Paul is confident that his work is not over. But even if it is, he says, he is also willing with great joy to go to his reward and be with Jesus, because that is the ultimate goal. This morning I want to suggest 2 other ways of looking at joy. The first was one that I heard from a man by the name of James Jennings, a professor of theology at Duke University. He's a black professor who has lived in the South. And when asked what he understood by the word joy, he writes, joy is the resistance against despair. Resistance against despair. Joy is not just the consequence of obeying God's call in your life, but it is also the act of resistance against cynicism, against defeatism, and against carelessness, all of which are aspects of despair. You see, he speaks out of the black experience in the southern states, and he realizes that so often for them, many of them have been very, very hard placed to find occasions for joy. And yet so many of them have demonstrated this desire to be joyful in the face of many, many difficulties. How often, he says, do we face the temptation to give up, to just resign ourselves to what is, to just say whatever? I found this lovely little poem written by Wendell Berry. Poem is entitled Enemies, and it was written at a time in life where I think he recognized some. The poem goes this way. If you are not to become a monster, you must care what they think. If you care what they think, how will you not hate them and so become a monster of the opposite kind? From where then is love to come? Love for your enemy, that is the way of liberty. From forgiveness. Forgiven, they go free of you, and you of them. They are to you as sunlight on a green branch. You must not think of them again, except as monsters like yourself, pitiable because unforgiving. At the risk of over-explaining this poem, the idea is that what you do with enemies has an implication of what you become. If you forgive them, you are free of them and free to love them. If you don't, you become like them, bound in every way. Joy is the opposite of despair. the despair that gives up or gives in, the despair that stops striving. But referring back to St. Paul, Paul writes, not that I, Paul, will stop striving, but that if death or imprisonment stop his earthly ministry, he is glad to know that he is then in the presence of Christ. He will not give in, but he will accept God's path. And a second addition to this notion of what is joy. The great theologian from Germany, Jürgen Moltmann, was also asked, what does he understand by this word joy? And he says, joy in his mind is the singing of the Lord's song in an alien world. When Israel was in exile, the question was repeatedly raised, how can we sing the Lord's song in a place that is so hostile to us, that has torn us out of our country and then completely destroyed our country? How is joy possible? In Waltman's mind, joy sees every land as God's land. There is no our land and the other land. All are God's lands. The Apostle Paul makes plans. God works out the details. The belief that God's promises will hold firm happen even if he cannot imagine the how. And so he says to the Philippians, we trust God for the how and rejoice in the promise. Go before and go with. So I want to leave you with this idea that as we walk with God, God's faithfulness becomes more and more apparent. And as we trust God's goodness, as we reach times of uncertainty, pain, and sorrow, even in the middle of all of this uncertainty, we still have a well-being. We still have the sense that God is in control, that God has not abandoned us, that we are God's. That is the fruit of joy. Trust, hope, and a longing to be with the God who both made us and saves us. Amen.